You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. We're going to talk all sorts of Bison athletics this morning. We're going to talk a little bit of Bison hoops with our hoops analyst, Nate Zastro, NDSU coming off a dominating win in the exhibition over Minnesota Crookston. And we're going to preview with Trevor Gebhardt the Bison showdown with Western Illinois out in Macomb this weekend. Let's hit the news. Bison have landed a commitment from Eli Bradley. Eli is playing for nationally ranked Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. I believe Max Preps has Bishop Gorman as the number 11 high school team in the entire country. And Eli is a big-time shooter. I almost called him Gus because he is the son of Gus Bradley, current Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator and former North Dakota State defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. That means, honestly, folks, that next year's roster is set as far as the 2023, because you're going to add Derek Desette and you're going to add Eli Bradley. And folks, there aren't any more spaces on the roster because NDSU will have an empty senior night this March. Ain't nobody graduating. So Derek Desette from Minot will become a part of the roster, as will Eli Bradley. So exciting stuff. 6'4", shooter, comes from a winning program. We'll be playing, you know, before it shut down, Donda Academy. We'll be playing, you know, Oak Hill. He's going to be playing in these high-level national invitational high school tournaments against elite-level top 50 talent, Bronny James, et cetera, et cetera. Eli Bradley will have been through it by the time he gets on campus at North Dakota State. So a very exciting commitment there. A little odd one, Fargo Shanley's Connor Kraft headed to South Dakota State, pulling a Division I kid with NDSU interest right out of Fargo is Coach Eric Henderson. And honestly, impressive in that Connor Kraft had an Oregon State offer. So he had a Power 5 offer headed to Brookings is Connor Kraft. Christian Watson returned to Packers practice following his concussion. He might play this week. He had missed the two prior weeks with a hamstring injury. So Bison fans might get to see number 9 finally open it up with the Packers against a not-so-great Detroit Lions secondary. And as we mentioned, North Dakota State scored 60 points in the second half to destroy Minnesota Crookston in their exhibition game. That game ending the Bison one single bucket, 2 points short of 100 in an impressive offensive explosion. Folks, if you are doing business with a company, with an insurance company that has, you know, one name on the door when you pull up, maybe they've got a Super Bowl commercial, maybe they've just got a local commercial, but they are just that one thing. The person that you sit down across that desk, he or she sells that one thing. You're taking a gamble that one thing, that one product, that one company is exactly what your family or business needs. Don't do that. Come to Tundra Insurance and talk to Quinn. Tundra Insurance on the main drag in Horace. Quinn Allo is going to go through about 20 different carriers to make sure that he is able to provide exactly what your family needs or exactly what your business needs. Let him do the shopping. Don't go to 7 or 8 different insurance carriers trying to find the best price. Let Quinn do it. That's what his job is. Let him take care of you. Tundra Insurance online at tundrainsurance.com or on the phone 701-969-1661 and ask for Quinn. Joining us this evening for the first time in a long time, probably, since Sioux Falls, my guy Nate Zastro. Nate, how are you?
Doing well. Hoop season upon us, and get ready for some big games for NDSU next week. It's fun for fans to watch you play those high major opponents. Might not be as fun for the players if they don't play so well, but it's fun for the fans to get to see your team play against high profile programs like they are next week.
What was your concern level watching that UM Crookston game? The slow-ish start. Actually, the actual start was hot, but then a clunky offense. You know, going into half with an 8-point lead. There were some times late in the first half where the lead was 5, the lead was 7. It looked like NDSU may struggle to gap these guys. What was your early level of concern?
Yeah, I don't think there's much concern with an exhibition game. I mean, each team's going to be pretty amped up to just be playing against someone other than themselves, just seeing another jersey opposite you when you're practicing against each other for probably the last 3-4 weeks. You kind of figured there'd be a bit of a slow start. I know NDSU probably wanted to set the tempo, but it is a bunch of new guys trying to play together and get playing a game situation. I mean, when the lights turn on, it's completely different than practice, and we know that. So it was good to see different spurts of different guys, younger guys mixing in with the guys who are returning. And it's hard to read too much into exhibition games. Minnesota Crookston, I believe, has been middle to lower half of the NSIC the last years that I've known or been around that conference with a new coach. So, I think they pulled away when they needed to. They hit shots. They looked good offensively. There were some things to clean up with ball handling and turnovers. And obviously there's some things defensively that you notice in the first half that Dave probably will show them in film and try to fix it. But like we've talked about with younger guys, especially freshmen, there's going to be some ups and downs throughout the year. And hopefully there's more ups than downs.
It's always something. It seems like there's always some early season issue. Goes back to the days of Tyson Ward, goes back to the days of Paul Miller. Dom Izzo at WDAY reporting that Grant Nelson does not start the exhibition game due to an academic issue. Got to take care of the schoolwork, right, Nate? You got to mind your P's and Q's, and Coach Richmond's just not one that's going to be messed with on that.
No, and it's unfortunate, and hopefully it's a lesson learned here during an exhibition game and not a regular season game. So hopefully lesson was learned, and Grant's good going forward. I know we've had things with different players throughout the years, and Dave he's not going to tolerate that at all. And guys got to take care of their off-the-court stuff as much as they need to take care of their on-the-court stuff.
Got to be impressed with Andrew Morgan. I don't think people understand just what a level, high level kid this is. Was only ever probably going to get the backup 5 minutes for Rocky last year, but the spleen issue and the lost weight and the sickness and stuff, I don't think we ever really saw what he could be. He looks like Andrew Morgan now. He's got a ridiculous Jackie Moon haircut and an even more ridiculous headband. You got to be excited about Andrew Morgan.
Yeah, and he looks to be in better shape, and he looked like a man amongst boys last night when he got the ball in the post sometimes, just with his rebounding and post moves and finishing, and we talked about it pre-show, but I mean, I think Grant's going to be the main piece, but I think Andrew Morgan's your X factor to kind of determine how good this team can really be. I think he needs to be the second option. Bolden could possibly be that second option some nights, and who knows which young guy could step up on any certain night. But he looked good. I mean, he hit a 3, 8 for 9 from the floor, 22 points. I mean, that's an efficient night, and I don't care who you're playing. But we'll get a better glimpse of how he's going to be when he's playing against Arkansas and Kansas. Obviously those guys are going to have some men as well, to be with him in the post. So it'll be good to see, how he stands up against them.
Lot was made of the exits of Jarius Cook and Malik Harden-Hayes. It certainly seemed like those two fellows were on their way to starting roles. Ostensibly, I think, replaced with freshmen in Lance Waddles and into Javis Miller. And boy, do they look like four-year bucket getters. I was just really impressed. Waddles goes 6-for-10, 4-for-7 from three. To Javis, actually, finishes 6-for-12, but 6-for-10 from three. He didn't even get a two-point bucket. I know it's 40 minutes against a mid-tier NSIC team, but I just saw beautiful music being made in the shack for 4 years, man. I saw my whole life before my eyes there.
Yeah, I mean, they look good, and you'd rather see that than them go out and you see an 0-for-2 and they kind of have a deer in the headlights look. I mean, they look like they were confident and ready to play when the lights came on. And there's obviously going to be some little things that they can fix and keep getting better at. But I mean, offensively, we've had a lot of years where we've seen NDSU completely disappear in some of these games offensively and stay in it defensively. And I think it could be the complete opposite. I don't think Dave wants to hear that, but I think it could be a little bit opposite of what we've seen in the previous years where, we need to get a stop and are scoring well, and we'll see what happens. It's nice to have some offensive weapons and multiple ones that could score in a variety of different ways. And those young guys showed that they could score the basketball last night.
You know, they ended up in a situation last year, and I just wanted to get your take on Luke Yoder, because they ended up in a situation last year, man. What a season with Sam Griesel just about dying in a hotel room, you know, Andrew Morgan rupturing his spleen. Let's hope for ankle sprains this year, huh, Nate? Let's hope for basic ankle sprains. Sam Ostrider gets swatted in the eye, ends up in sunglasses on the bench. Let's just, like, normal basketball injuries would be fine for this group. But they ended up in a situation where they had to use a lot of Willie Guy against UNLV, against Creighton, against, you know, a bunch of squads that they went up against last year. What did you think of the performance of Yoder? How do you believe he'll kind of hold up until reinforcements at the point guard position arrive in the form of McKinney and Wheeler Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the type of kid where he's going to be solid as a rock. He's going to make the right basketball plays, and he's going to take care of the ball the best he can. And I think he's a solid option here to start. Do I think he's a long-term starter at the point guard? I don't think so, and I kind of hope not. I mean, he seems to have some limitations with what he can provide, but I think he's going to be solid as a rock and be good for those younger guys like Wheeler Thomas, who you put, or McKinney, should be able to help him out as well, just to kind of have some experience and be able to kind of show him the ropes and be solid. He showed a little bit of scoring last night, but I think Dave kind of just wants him to be able to handle the ball and get him into their offense and get the ball to the scorers, which were last night Waddles and to Javis Miller and Bowden, and get the ball into the post to Andrew and get to Grant where he can operate in space. That's going to be the main thing I think he needs to do.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, with Bowden's ability to create a little bit of offense, but Waddles and Miller, man, the way that they can play offense, and I don't think people have quite a grasp on just how offensively gifted Jakari White is too, especially as a shooter. Didn't probably have the night he wanted, but I know that, you know, from what I've seen in practice and just from what the staff has said, like, that's a low concern with Jakari. But man, you talk about the names I just listed, and of course Grant being offensively gifted and Andrew being offensively gifted. There just is not, I don't think, going to be a tremendous scoring burden on whoever the point guard is. I think a big-time distributing point guard, more of the role that Lawrence played when Marshall and Taylor and those guys were on the team, not the role that he played in 14-15 where he was pulling up from the logo. It's a slightly different role. I don't think we'll need that version of a Bison point guard this season. Bowden, I thought, you know, we talked all offseason about his ability to become more than just a lockdown defender. I like that mid-range jumper that he's showing, and he did get it going from three a little bit as well.
Yeah, I liked his confidence, and I know he doesn't seem to lack confidence, but he seemed to have more confidence in his jumper last night. And I know we've talked about the style of play and how it seemed to be sped up a little bit. But I mean, they were one pass up the sideline, and he was jacking for three, and it was nothing but net. If he can provide some different scoring other than the 3-point shooting, he's got a good pull up jump shot. He's strong enough to go finish in the lane or draw fouls. He's obviously used as a really good defender. He's probably going to be guarding the other team's best guard most games. And the more confident he can be and stepping up and knocking down shots, the less burden it's going to be on guys like Grant Nelson and Morgan to go out and score 15, 20 a night if Bolden can provide 10-ish, 10, 12 points a game.
Absolutely. Strite, like I said, looks taller. He allegedly went from 6'8 to 6'9. I'm half joking, but I actually do think he does look at the inch taller that they're listing him. But he looks athletic, man. He looks lean. I'm less worried about the backup big minutes. I think he and they have these. I don't know that you're going to want a ton of the offense with the second unit to go through him, but that's probably fine. I mean, whoever the backup point guard is, all of these wings can get a bucket. So if Tejavis Miller is going to come off the bench, he can get a bucket. If Lance Waddles is going to come off the bench, he'd be your like Freddie Coleman style bench bucket getter. I mean, like a real bench, like a microwave guy. I mean, whoever plays, I think, in that second unit is going to be offensively gifted, and they can use Strite as just an athletic, defensive, switch everybody type weapon. Maybe grab the occasional offensive rebound and pop it back in. Maybe knock down a wide open jump shot one or two times a game. I was impressed with what I saw from Strite.
Yeah, and he's the type of kid who's going to come in and play hard. He's going to rebound. He's not going to try to – he doesn't need to have the ball or do anything really offensively. And, yeah, he's going to be – he got some experience last year, and I think that was probably the best thing for him, especially going into this year. So if he can come in and rebound and handle his own down low defensively, and if he gets a rebound and make a layup, I mean, that'd be great. Like I said, he doesn't need the ball in the post to be productive. He's going to be productive by coming in and playing hard and providing some energy that way.
Let's talk about expectations for next week, Nate. Where do you think they should be set? What would you deem a success? I would guess that NDSU will be double-digit underdogs to both Arkansas and Kansas. What is considered a success next week?
You know, I don't think you need to look at the points in games like that and figure out if it's a success based off that. How did they respond to any type of adversity in a high major arena? How do they compete when there's adversity or when the other team goes on a huge run and the crowd's going nuts? With a young team and a couple experienced guys back, you're looking to see competing for the full 40 minutes. And whether the score is 25-30 or whether it's a 5-point game, you want to keep playing the same way and playing your style and what your coach has put in the game plan to continue to do that and not get away from yourselves if the game does get out of hand at any point. I don't think – obviously the game's scored and we want to win the game, and Dave's never going to say anything less than that. But I think overall I want to see him compete for 40 minutes in both games.
All righty, Nate, we appreciate you, and we will talk to you very soon here on the Bison Report Radio Podcast. The Bison Report Radio Podcast brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. They've got a bunch of beautiful new trucks. Chevy Silverados in at Gateway. They've got four engine options. I'm rocking the 5.3 liter V8, the old reliable, with the adaptive fuel management that gives phenomenal fuel economy for a vehicle of its size. The new ones, though, have beautiful, large touchscreens that are very interactive, very intuitive. The infotainment systems are excellent. Folks, stop over and visit the kind people at Gateway Chevrolet on the I-29 Frontage Road, or visit them online at gatewayfargo.com. Okay, bringing on Mr. Trevor Gebhardt, number three in your program, number one in your hearts. It's BYE Part Due. We have talked on end about how we felt like NDSU kind of failed the first BYOE test for the year in Terre Haute, Indiana. And now comes an even worse place to play football, which is Macomb, Illinois.
I think those two, we could debate that. That could be a pod.
That's a good offseason content. We'll throw you on the bench warmers, you and Quinn and Zach, and just yell about places you didn't like playing football. That'll make people real, real pleased. But yeah, this is a place that comes up every time. I mean, every game against Western Illinois, one of the key discussion points is what a non-conducive place it is to play a game. The travel sucks. The environment sucks. People don't show up to the game. People probably really aren't going to show up to the game with an 0-8 squad. Talk to me about, you know, kind of tackling this as a player and as a program where you got to worry about yourselves here, kind of.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just have to take care of the task at hand. I know that sounds a little bit like coach speak, but it is true. We talked about that with the Indiana State week, and you know, I think the guys were lulled to sleep a little bit and gave Indiana State an opportunity to think that they belonged, and they did. They played well, and Indiana State deserved a chance to win. Now, that's not to rehash old news there, but you know, hopefully in this scenario, I think this group can learn from that last experience and go, okay, where did we lose focus? Was it on the plane? Was it on the bus ride? Was it just trying to look at record and think, okay, this game's in the bag for the first half? Or was it simply because of the environment? And when you're trying to become a consistent and championship football team, the last thing that can affect, that should affect your play is the environment. Because it needs to be the ability you have as a team to go and take care of the individual and team across the line from you. I know that probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense with throwing those words out, but it's so true that you have to make sure that you do your 111th. So that way, as a unit, the team across from you is basically suffocated early, especially when it's not an opponent that should be playing with you. And top that with playing in an environment that is not fun. A sign of a championship football team will be putting an opponent like that out early.
I think it's interesting that they're 30-point favorites, just in the sense of, you know, North Dakota State hasn't really achieved that a ton this year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would tell you they don't have a conference win of at least 30 points. That's, you know, or a 4-touchdown conference win. They just haven't been throttling people like they have sometimes done in the past. And, you know, it's a little bit of a careful what you wish for thing from the fan base. A lot of folks asking for more competitive games, and then they get more competitive games, and then they want to fire the coaches. So it's a never ending cycle.
The coaches get called for firing every year. It's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't
know. Sure. Sure. But we've talked enough about that, I think, this season on Bison Report Radio. Matt Entz really mentioned, and it was just, you know, based on a normal conversation or a normal question in a Monday press conference, and he said, we just need to worry about the Bison. Like, we're aware that this team is winless. We're aware that, you know, he didn't say it out loud, but I'm sure they are aware that, and I want to get the score exactly correct, because it was just banana land between Missouri State and Western Illinois.
It was like 62 to something, wasn't it?
64-14. Sure they are aware that this team just gave up 64 points in a football game. But that's what the point that he is making. The Bison need to worry about the Bison. The Bison need to use this opportunity to go 1-0, but also to become a better football team. I'm sure you had weeks like that when you were playing.
We did. Well, here's the thing about this, especially this group that I see. Against Illinois State last week at home, this group had its probably most complete game as a whole in terms of quality of play on the field, staying clean and consistent, and putting a team out and keeping them there. you never really felt like Illinois State was going to get back into the game. It wasn't a blowout, but I didn't think that they were going to do to Illinois State.
Yeah, what certainly not after the Talbert interception.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. You know, that was a big time play. I mean, that was, we were texting about it right in that moment. I'm like, this second half is going to define where this team is going to go. And literally the next play, Destin Talbert pick, it was right on cue. And those are the type of instances where this team has to continue to capitalize on. And there is no better time to do it than a team who you should be doing that against 9 out of 10 plays. You know what? They're going to guess right. It's going to happen. Okay. They might run a trick play. Things might go their way, whatever. Put it to bed, move on. And if this team can consistently do that and play to the best of their ability and get out of their own way like they have been, and we've talked about ad nauseum, if they listen to this, they're probably sick of hearing it. Fine by me. Go get mad and use it as motivation, okay? It's a spade. Spade's a spade. But if this team can play the best of their ability, look what that was in the first 20 minutes against South Dakota State. This team is not getting beat. So when Matt Entz says that, he's right on. He's right on. Because if the Bison worry about the Bison and this team focuses on their ability, everything is going to take care of itself. Because the ability is there and no one has shown that they can just outplay them for 60 minutes this year. It hasn't happened. Arizona didn't do it. They won the game. They did everything they had to do to win the game. Arizona did. And same thing with South Dakota State. After the Cam Miller penalty, it was just kind of like they went into a shell and they just stayed in their own way for whatever reason. You know what? It's a bad day at that point. So I think if this group can continue to find that rhythm and build upon what they did against Illinois State, then yes, worry about the buys and everything will take care of itself and you'll find yourself in the position that you want to be come January.
What do you want to see in this game? Obviously you want to see a W, but progress things, for example, last week, and you know, I talked about it on the show on 1660. I said, and in the preview post, I said, like, guys, this team, this entire Redbird team has probably not forced as many missed tackles as Isaiah Davis himself. The entire Redbird team has forced about as many, just a few more missed tackles than Hunter Lipke. They don't run particularly hard. They basically get what's blocked for them. Their wide receivers don't have a ton of shake. Like, this could be a game for NDSU to get right tackling. Boy, did they. I think 61 defensive snaps, 2 missed tackles. That is what you like to see. So that's an example of, like, what I'm talking about. Market improvement that we can measure within a game that you win 24-7. This might be a game they win 50 rip. So what do you want to see? What improvements are you tracking?
I'm going to be tracking turnovers, taking care of the football in a game where it's only on you. So turnovers, number one, time of possession. It needs to be at 35 minutes, no less, which also coincides with third down conversions. I think if you're at 60%, which is very high, you are putting everything you need to on tape to show a physically dominating performance. Defensively, just keep it consistent from where it was. Single-digit missed tackles, I think we have used that as a barometer here, and we've been the ones to talk about it the most throughout this year. And
2 is definitely single digits.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say so if my South Dakota high school math bodes well. Shout out to the Warriors.
Shout out.
And then also forcing at least 2 turnovers. 3 is a lot. I think there are some things that probably have to go your way. They have to kind of make mental mistakes themselves. I think if you force 2 turnovers, as well as probably, you know, 4 to 5 sacks, I think if you're doing that, holding them to 2 scores, you know, if those are 2 touchdowns, not ideal. But if they get 2 scores to whatever capacity and that's it, I think this team can confidently walk away and feel good about going into the home stretch of Valley play.
All righty. Do you think, and I want this, okay, I got to be careful here because there's always a difference between what we would do, and I'm not being critical here, but yeah. There's always a difference between what we would do and what we actually think the coaching staff will do. Do you think that there is any chance that somebody who's on the border of playing, not playing, somebody who could use a little rest, do you think that they view this as an opportunity to maybe take advantage of that? Or are you clear to play? Go.
If you're clear to play, you got to dress. I think because this program is built on certain things. And one of those is bringing on the competition. And it doesn't matter who it is. Anytime, what did Zach Wilson wear in his head a couple of years ago at BYU? It said like any team,
anytime, anywhere. Place.
Yeah. Anytime, yeah. Anywhere, pretty much. That's really the mindset of the program. And I think you're sending the wrong message to the locker room if you're doing that. Now, if you're borderline, it's like, hey, maybe more of a game time decision. This is the type of game where you can probably say, hey, you know what? Unless you're absolutely rearing to go, pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, there's still a long season to be had for what this team's goals are. So there's no reason to push something if you don't need to. Now, if you've been practicing, you've been doing Indy, you've been maybe doing a little bit of team drills, but not getting the amount of reps that you normally would. And you're battling some boo-boos. You still need to strap up, go make your plays early, maybe limit the reps. But I still think if you are a guy that is capable of playing and you're just kind of hurting and you're not injured, then yeah, I still think you need to be strapping up and stepping on the gridiron on Saturday.
Well, cause I think the politically correct answer from the coaching staff is the we're not treating this as a game where we are 30-point favorites and the people that are available to us are going to play. We're not going to make health, you know, availability related decisions based on our opponent. We're going to make them based on the recommendations of the medical staff. And now we're all human. I think that there probably is a little bit of, man, if this was South Dakota State with the marker and the conference on the line, you might go, but it is Western. We are 30-point favorites and maybe we buy you a week. So that will be fascinating to me if there is anybody that, you know, has super limited reps. And that's one thing too. Like I really think you want to talk about what I'm looking to see. I want to see the twos. That's in the fourth quarter. I want to actually see the second stringers for North Dakota State on the field. Then I would view this game as a success. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I think kind of going back to your last question about like, what do you want to see tangibly for those to happen? I think with a team like this, Western is it's terrible to say, and I hate it if like, you know, opponents listen to this, you know, but this team is just not good. I mean, it's hard to say that out loud. I'm not looking to bash anybody, but this team is bad. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of worse teams in the Valley since I played, I'll be honest. And now I know I'm getting a message about that. So great. But like, those numbers that I alluded to earlier about turnovers, time of possession, and third down conversions and single digit missed tackles and that sort of thing, you're going to see the twos in that scenario because of the quality of the opponent. Again, not a knock on them. It's just the nature of how this works. That being said, to piggyback off your point, seeing a guy like 15 get in there and get more opportunities to take snaps, drop back, maybe do some play action.
Right. Not just package. Like actually run the offense for three drives.
Yep. And maybe do like, this is a very specific reference. I don't know how many people are going to get it, but like when Carson Wentz came in against South Dakota at Howard Wood Field, he came in the fourth quarter. I think he was like 5 for 5. He was very efficient, threw a touchdown pass, I believe, and was running play action. We were already up like 42-0, but seeing something like that in this game would be very, very encouraging.
Folks, Below Zero Wrestling, we're in the wrestling business. People need to understand. Below Zero Wrestling partners with Tundra Insurance to bring you Tundra Mania. This all-ages event takes place on Sunday, December 11th at the Horace Community Senior Center in Horace, just a few miles from Fargo. Fans will get to see their favorite BZW stars, as well as a special announcement. Also, folks, your boy might actually get in the ring. We're working on it. I might get in the squared circle.
What is your character, and what is your, like, have you thought that far into it? Like,
there's going to be a meeting. God.
Okay. Well, this is news to me.
I understand.
I knew this.
We've been
happening.
Trying to get you up here too.
Well, yeah, we were. And it unfortunately isn't going to work out with the work schedule. Those things are already planned, but.
Best of all, folks, I'm getting interrupted in the middle of my ad read. Best of all, children 5 and younger get in free. We have general admission access for all kids with paying parents 5 and under. They are getting in for free. Folks, we are having the Wild Rice Bar and Grill. So serve up your favorite beer and cocktails. We are having the boys at Big Deck Barbecue serve up the food. And, by the way, selling sauces and rubs. We're even doing a sweet little giveaway that we'll get some details out to you in future episodes. But we're really excited about, Quinn's got a nice little table skirt. We're going to, we're going to have people come and shake hands, grab a cup. We've got some free stuff we're going to give away, but there's actually a sign-up giveaway for a really, really cool item. We got so much cool stuff going on at Tundra Media. So check us out December 11th. Tickets are on sale. You can check the Tundra Insurance Facebook page. You can go to belowzerowrestling.com. You'll find it. If you're looking for tickets for this event, you will find it. Trevor was going to be there, but now he's not. I don't know what else to say about
that. Yeah, thanks for putting that on, Nate. Yeah, way to Trevor was gonna have me make. I am now the villain of this wrestling story. If I happen to make it by some circumstance,
Trevor was going to be there, and now he's not. That's what you need to know about all this.
We don't need to reveal what was actually texted about a hypothetical scenario of
for sure
what I'd be wrestling.
All right, offensive line. Want to talk to you? You've had buddies obviously on the OL, guys that you grew up with, but. Mason Miller gets benched for false starting, basically, is what Coach said. Also, had some issues in pass pro. There were non-penalty related issues, related to this game, outside of just, the false starts. But basically said, we can't have you committing those false starts. So, we talked about it with Zach, but I want to get your take. My take was that Gray Zabel can play all 5 spots. So I think Gray Zabel, as insane as that makes me sound, I think Gray Zabel should be your 6th offensive lineman, should be your ogre, should back up all 5 spots. Because if someone does go down, I don't love Mason Miller at any of the 3 interior positions now that you don't have Sundell available. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep Zabel in my back pocket, and I want to keep rolling Mason Miller out at right tackle. Mason Miller came out at number 1 on the depth chart when they released the depth chart Monday for the right tackle position. What's your take? Do you think the benching is, should stay permanent, or you throw a young guy like Mason back out there?
Bring him back out. Those things aren't acceptable. Mental errors, especially when they're consistent, they've probably been addressed, and he kept committing them. Things that had nothing to do with talent, nothing to do with effort. It's a simple mental error. This program is not built on that. You can't have it. And young man starting on for the Rams. He already knows that. So it's one of those things where, okay, lesson learned, get back out there and don't let it happen again. If it does, he's just going to lose the job. And it's not to put pressure on the young man or to be hard on him in any capacity. It's just, those are things that cannot happen. You cannot play mistake prone football and expect to have the results that we need out of this O-line. And Gray Zabel, I'm going to have South Dakota bias here, but I believe he comes from a pretty smart family, is my understanding. So him being able to play all 5 positions doesn't surprise me. If it's an instance where Mason does keep committing those, do they put Gray there permanently and, not have depth as much for other capacities? I don't really know. That's a decision for the coaching staff, but I do expect to see 73 back out there come snap 1.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm with you. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I I think he needs to, I think he needs to play. I think you roll him back out there. And like I said, man, part of it has to do with all the different things that Gray can do. He can come and play over for you, can play center, can play either guard spot, could probably fill in at whatever tackle position. I want that available to me. By the way, folks, and I've forgotten about this until this exact moment, promo code Bison Report, one word, BISONREPORT, 10% off your Tundra Mania tickets, which are already cheap, by the way. But promo code Bison Report, one word, 10% off your Tundra Mania tickets. I've done this promo now 3 times, and I totally forgot that I even set up that promo code. Bison Report, 10% off your tickets.
Way to go, Ross. You're like Jackie Moon in semi-pro trying to
say. Dude, I am like Jackie Moon in semi-pro. You have no idea. I might fight a bear. You have absolutely no idea. And that brings up an interesting thing. The 2022 offensive line talk. It came out this week that Jake Kubis is going to take his sixth year, going to come back next season, going to get his MBA. So you got your starting right guard back. Your starting right tackle, Mason Miller's a young pup. He's going to be back for a while. Yep. Brandon Westberg has really I think show that he is a probably all Valley level center, which is funny because he's backing up an all Valley level center. I really like Westy's game. So man, to me, I see, obviously you're in a situation where Nash Jensen, sixth round pick, seventh round pick, priority free agent, Cody Mock, second round pick, third round pick. You're probably thinking like that Bison offensive line is going to take a step back. I got an idea. Jalen Sundell, down in the Kansas City area, Maryville, Missouri. Drove past it on my way to see our boy, Bison Report photographer Jake Stack before the USD game. Jalen Sundell was conference offensive player of the year at the left tackle position. When you don't actually touch the football, to get conference player of the year in high school, you got to be a special dude. That was at the left tackle position. I think you give Sundell a real shot to move back to the left tackle spot. I mentioned this in a press conference. Matt Ants basically laughed at me and said, I'll write that down. I haven't thought about that far ahead. I call BS. I think they have thought about it. I think they're going to move Sundell back to left tackle, or at least it is what I would do. You pop Gray Zabel in there right at left guard, and all you have is experience. Experience and guys who have mashed all across the offensive line. You buy yourself another year of dominance. You go Sundell, left to right. You go Sundell, Zabel, Westy, Westberg, Kubis, Miller. Yeah. That's where I'm at next year.
Wow. You got me excited now.
I know. I've been in the lab.
That's a lot of snaps up front there, boy. And a lot of length. So yeah, that would be
long. Kubis would be the only one short in 6'6", I think.
Wow, good on him. Or I mean,
Westy,
he's a North
Westy, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, good on Kubis to, you know, to be a big component of that and a big puzzle to say, hey, you know what, I'm committed to the program and take that extra year and continue to make his home state proud. He's more famous out of Dickinson than Nate Moody, and I really hope Nate hears this. Nate, if you're listening, make sure you text me. I'm not sorry.
By the way, I tell you what, you talk about from a standpoint of NFL. Yes, the NFL would probably like a prospect 1 year younger, but there's sixth-year guys in the draft now. There just are.
It's well, especially not with COVID. It's going to change things for – yeah, it's going to change things for a while.
But you put – with his injuries, I would argue probably – you put 3 seasons worth of tape at center and one potentially if they go on to a national championship – 115-game season at left tackle, and these scouts have 45 games at center and 15 games at left tackle to evaluate you. That's only going to help. Only going to help.
It'll put you on a practice squad at the very least, just because they know that they can move you around. You know what his position will be labeled at that level, probably more interior, just from a length standpoint. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think he will have enough there to put himself more in a Sunday player position. So, I mean, good on him.
I got a question for you. Does the mindset change when you have 2 consecutive road games and you are away from the dome for a while, or is it just a week by week type thing?
No, that's probably reading too much into it. I mean, fair enough. Yeah, it can, just because, you know, you have it back to back and you're just kind of in that, like, okay, it's going to be crazy here for a little bit. But yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in it, at least for this program. It's just, it's one of those things where it does happen every year and the kids are used to it. They're well prepared.
It's never too early to get a little seeding talk in. We're barely, it's November. It's November. We've made our way to the Thanksgiving month, and I want to just kind of give Bison fans a guide as far as what they're cheering for. So right now, if you're talking about the top 25, I believe North Dakota State is their worst position is fourth. I think at the coaches poll, they are fourth. They're fourth in the coaches poll and they're fourth in the FCS top 25. That's where you don't want to be at the end of the year. You don't want to be fourth because then the semis are in Brookings. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, maybe there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah.
If I truly do think this, I think if Sac State wins out, I think they're the one.
Cause they're undefeated.
They're undefeated and they have an FBS win. And the playoff committee has a tendency to reward those in very high regard. The reason we got in the playoffs in 2010, we didn't expect it. We got a phone call saying, hey, we're in the playoffs, and we didn't know it. It's because we beat Kansas week one. And that was the reason we got in the playoffs in 2010. Fun fact for you.
Sure.
So, because we were a 4-4 Valley team. I can't remember if we were the fourth team in, but there were teams that we were tied with, like all in the middle of the pack, and we got in because there was a Power 5 win.
Sure.
And Sac State has an FBS win and they're undefeated and would be conference champs in the Big Sky. Whereas SDSU, they would have their one loss. I know it's against Iowa, but Iowa's offense is obviously really, 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 really bad. I have a lot of tweets about it. Go check it out. I do think Sac State's going to be rewarded for that.
So,
anyway.
Sure. No, you're fine. So NAU is 3-5. Montana State ain't losing to them.
Yep.
I think Cal Poly stinks too. Do they not? Let's check.
I
think they stink.
Yeah, they're not good.
1-7, stinky. So here's basically what you're cheering for, folks. You are cheering for Montana in the Brawl of the Wild. Zero question about it. You're cheering for Montana in the Brawl of the Wild. You're also a big-time Weber State fan this Saturday, this actual coming Saturday. You're begging the Weber State Wildcats to get it done because they almost got it done against Montana State, losing 43-38 last week. But you are a hoping and a praying that Weber State, as one-point underdogs at home, gets it done against Sac State, because that's your ticket to a guaranteed top three seed if you win out. And I think that ultimately North Dakota State would probably, if they do bank wins against SIU and UND, I don't know that you could keep a two-loss NDSU out of the top three seeds, but we've seen that committee pair the Bison and the Rabbits before. We've seen it happen. I truly don't believe that it's out of the question. And I think you want, if you're a Bison fan, I think you want a Montana State or a Sacramento State loss at some point here, or you want South Dakota State to drop their patented game. And I think their patented game might just be against you and I with the Panthers season on the line. And they're on a hell of a run, the old Northern Iowa.
Yeah. Northern Iowa has a tendency to play well when they have to. They did that to us in 2014. Northern Iowa in 2014, in back-to-back weeks at home in the Uni Dome, beat Illinois State and North Dakota State. The two teams playing for the national title that season, Illinois State and North Dakota State. Illinois State got redemption in the playoffs that year, but all of this to say that Northern Iowa, when their backs are against the wall, they do come out fire. It's how they are, it seems like, every year or every other year. Their backs are against the wall. They're dead in the water. They reel off five in a row, and they're the last team in the Valley in the playoffs.
Yeah, dead in the water until they're not. That's the Northern Iowa way. Dead in the water until they're not. All right, Trev, give me a score prediction for this here matchup between the Western Illinois Leathernecks and your North Dakota State University Bison.
So I'm going to go 42-10. I think Western gets a score early. Sadly, that's been a common theme this year, mostly because it's scripted, and that's really all that meets the eye there. And I think it results in a field goal. And I don't think Western Illinois gets another score until late in the game. When the game's over, they score with maybe 5 minutes left to bring it to 10. By that time, starters are rested, 15's getting snaps, and the Bison go home, covering the spread, winning by 32.
All righty. I'm right there. I think this team just gave up 64 points to Missouri State. Like I think I've got 52-7. I really think NDSU rolls them. I think, you know, if you are the degenerate type, this might be, I wouldn't call it a freebie, but I just think the Bison have something to prove. And honestly, they might be kind of, we're talking about seeding. They might be scoreboard watching. I mean, it might be a situation where they need to make the computers like them a little bit, or, you know, they need to improve that Massey rating. They might need to pour it on these guys. I got 52-7 North Dakota State. I got the twos in there. I really do believe that they're going to layeth the hammer down. Folks, I want to thank Trevor Gebhardt. I want to thank our sponsors, Gateway Chevrolet and Tundra Insurance. I want to thank Nate Zastro for coming on and talking some hoops. I want to thank all of you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend.